Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. As Christmas comes near, I think one of the main points of Christmas is nothing is impossible with God. Can I ask you to do something wherever you're watching, if you're in the kitchen or living room or bedroom, wherever you're at, or the office, I don't know. Would you say these words out loud with me? Nothing is impossible with God. Would you say that one more time? Nothing is impossible with God. That's called the omnipotence of God. I can remember when I was 12, the first thing our pastor taught us in confirmation class was the three omnis of God. Omni means all. God is omnipotent, omnipotent, all-powerful. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. He exists everywhere. If you don't pray and tap into the omnipotent power of God, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You need to pray. I read this about an elderly lady. All of her fellow employees had retired, but she kept working into real old age. And one of the families, the daughter of her employer, marveled at this and said to her, "How do you do it?" And she said, "Well, my dear, sometimes it seems hard. Often I get up in the morning feeling so weak and faint. But I'm like a streetcar before it's connected to the power wire. The first thing I do is connect with the power. When I have said my prayers, I then feel the strength to get up and come to work to do what I have to do." So today, let's talk about connecting to the omnipotent power of Christmas, the power of God. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? And before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that You will open our eyes to see that You are such a big God, and in Your sight, our problems are so little. But sometimes we see our problems as so huge and You as so little. God, speak to us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. This is the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Here's the first point today. God intervenes in human history. God sent an angel. Some of the founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Benjamin Franklin was a deist. And deists believed that God made the universe, but He left. And the deists believed that it's like an alarm clock. God made the alarm clock. He wound it up. And then He left. And now the universe is slowly winding down on its own. That is not Christianity. Christianity believes God intervenes in human history. God sent an angel. God has not left the building. Sometimes God intervenes in judgment. Sometimes He intervenes in mercy. At Christmas, He's intervening in mercy. But do you remember when Jesus was carrying His cross, the women are crying, and He said, "Women, don't cry for me, cry for you and your children," because the Romans were going to come in 70 AD and destroy and judge Jerusalem. And then there was World War II, where I think God finally judged and destroyed Nazi Germany and Hitler. So there are judgments of intervention, and there is mercy of intervention. But even Benjamin Franklin, the deist, said this as an old man: "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men." All right, back to Luke chapter 1. The angel appears, and it says this in verse 27. Gabriel appeared to a virgin. There's the next lesson. Be a virgin until you're married. There's no double standard in the Bible. If you're a man, be a virgin till you're married. If you're a woman, be a virgin till you're married. And if you blew it, if you had sex outside of wedlock, then you become what's called a born-again virgin. And you say, God, forgive me for that, but now I commit myself to purity until the day I'm married. I used to say to my 12-year-old confirmation students, no ring, no ring-a-ding-ding, no wedding, no bedding. Let's look at verse 27. Gabriel appeared to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. There's the next lesson. God keeps his promises. Now, look at verse 27 and answer this. What promise is God keeping in this verse? Well, 1000 BC, God promised King David, one of your descendants is going to have a kingdom that will last forever. And then 1,000 years later, his descendant, Jesus, is born. God keeps all of his promises. Sometimes you got to wait 1,000 years. But in God's way, in his time, he keeps all of his promises. Susanna Wesley lived in England in the 1700s. She had 19 children, one of whom was John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. Of her 19 children, 9 died in infancy. And Susanna Wesley said this, God's promises are sealed to us, but they are not dated. They always come true, but in God's time, in God's way. Let's look at verse 27. And the virgin's name was Mary. Let's do a little detour right now and ask this question. What exactly does the Bible teach about Mary? Is Mary ever virgin? That is, after she gave birth to Jesus, did Joseph and Mary never have sex? The answer to that is no. The New Testament talks about Jesus having brothers and sisters. Is Mary the mother of God? Well, I'm a Protestant, I'm a Lutheran, but believe it or not, Lutherans believe Mary is the mother of God. Because Jesus is God, Mary is his mother, therefore it's proper to say Mary is the mother of God. Was Mary sinless? The Bible never says that. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, she calls God my Savior. Mary knew she needed a Savior. Is Mary the co-redemptress with Christ? Absolutely not. 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Should we pray to Mary? No. In the Bible, you only pray to God. Is Mary a good role model for us? The answer to that is yes. We're going to see now what a good role model Mary is for the faith. That, you know, there's an old saying, Catholics make too much of Mary, Protestants too little. I think there's some truth there. But we're going to see here, Mary is a wonderful role model for us. All right, end of detour. Look at back to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, or hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, when Catholics say the Hail Mary, it goes like this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. All of that comes from the Bible, because in the few verses, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, is going to say, blessed are you among women, and blessed is... So all that is good. It's biblical. The second half of the Hail Mary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That part's not in the Bible. It was authorized by Pope Pius V in 1568. So, again, Mary's a wonderful role model. We're going to see that now. But she wasn't perfect, and we don't pray to her. Look at verse 29. But Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Do you know what the word Jesus means? In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, Jehovah saves. So when you say, "I believe in Jesus," you're saying, "I believe Jehovah saves me." Verse 32, "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Here's the next lesson. Christ's kingdom is more important than worldly politics. Isn't it crazy how political people get in America? We've got to listen to this talk radio show and that political TV show, and people are so entrenched in politics. And, you know, I think all Christians should be good citizens. You should be aware of current events. I hope you vote pro-life. But listen, I hope you are 10 times more concerned with the kingdom of God than you are with American politics. I hope it's much more important to you that missionaries get out there around the globe preaching the gospel for the salvation of the lost than it is that this candidate wins over this candidate. Again, there's a place for that, but don't be consumed with something that's minor compared to the kingdom of God. Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" Here's the next lesson. The Holy Spirit does the impossible for us. Mary says, "I can't have a baby, I'm a virgin." And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit." And sometimes God tells you to do something you can't do, and how can I do this, Lord? And God's answer is, "The Holy Spirit." I have been a pastor now 45 years. I hate confrontation. I do it because you have to, but I hate it. And through the years, I mean, I had to confront Satan worshipers at one point. I had to confront someone who was molesting their stepdaughter. I had to, I can go on and on, but you know what I've learned? Sometimes you just got to pray, "God, I can't do this. I don't want to do this, but God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and you make it happen." And then you just, by the grace of God, do what you got to do. I bet there's many people watching this TV show that could attest to the fact God, the Holy Spirit, helped you do something you couldn't have done on your own. Next verse, verse 35. "Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Here's the next lesson. Jesus is holy. I heard a Methodist seminary professor give a message that was horrendous. He was a very liberal professor, and here is what he taught in his message. Quote, "Jesus wasn't perfect. You can't relate to someone if they're perfect." And I sat there and thought, well, there goes our salvation. Because if Jesus was a sinner, he'd have to pay for his own sins on the cross. The fact that he's the sinless Son of God enabled him to pay for our sins. I mean, if you go to a church and they're reinventing Christianity and they're telling you that you've got a sinful Savior, you don't have a Savior then. Verse 36, the angel says, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son," little John the Baptist, "and this is the sixth month with her," Elizabeth, "who was called barren. For," here's our verse, "nothing will be impossible with God." Here's the main lesson today. Nothing is impossible with God. Again, would you say those words out loud? Nothing is impossible with God. I think we all know that in our head, but getting that into my heart is another issue. If I really got it into my heart, I wouldn't worry so much. So I'm going to encourage you, would you do something? For the next 7 days, when you say your prayers, before you pray, would you say these words to the Lord? "Lord, I believe nothing is impossible with you and then say your prayers. Do that 7 days in a row to get it from here to here. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Here's the last lesson for today. You are a blessing when you submit to God, even when it's hard. You are a blessing when you submit to God. This was going to be hard on Mary. To be a single woman pregnant in ancient Palestine was a huge disgrace. But she says yes to God anyway. And even though up front it was hard, long term it was wonderful. Because in a few verses she's going to say to her cousin Elizabeth, "Henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And Mary knew that even though this is hard, she's going to bless the universe by what she does. And that's my point here. If you are submitting to God, you will bless people. If you are fighting God, you will hurt people. You know, maybe you had a dad who was a terrible father and he hurt your whole family. Or maybe you had a wonderful father and he blessed your whole family. As Christmas draws near, let me ask you the question. Are you submitting to God? If so, you're blessing people. Are you fighting God? If so, you're hurting people. And I close with this. There was a small town, and at the schoolhouse in this small town, they were having Christian revival meetings. A little girl went to one of the meetings, loved it. She'd never heard these things. Her father hated God, hated religion, never went to church. When he found out his daughter was going to these meetings, he forbid her to ever go near that meeting again. Well, one night the little girl snuck out of the backyard and went to the meeting. When father discovered little girl was gone, he got irate, marched over to the schoolhouse. His little girl was in there on her knees praying with other people on their knees, and he ran over and he grabbed his little girl up, and she says to him, "You're too late, Daddy. I already gave my heart to Jesus." And the story goes that got to him, and he came to Christ that night as well. As we near Christmas, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you submitting to God? Are you following Christ? Then you're blessing people. Or are you fighting against God? Then you're hurting yourself and others. Let Mary be your role model of submitting to God, even when it's hard. Because think of it this way. Who's the most famous woman in world history? It's the Virgin Mary. So when you submit to God one way or another, big or small, God's going to use you to bless the world. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question is from a viewer. Can we live together without being married if there is no sex involved? We are both in our 70s and sleep together, but no longer have sex.
I'd say no to that. And here's the reason why. What are you teaching the grandkids? Okay, well, grandpa and my girlfriend, we sleep together, but we don't have sex. Okay, I'm not doubting maybe that's true, but the Bible says to avoid the very appearance of evil. So if you say you're a Christian, you're living with someone in the same bed that you're not married to, even if you're being pure, you're being a bad witness. Mm-hmm. And if grandpa can sleep with his girlfriend, why can't I sleep with mine? And then the other thing people write, well, you know, we're older, we prayed the prayer, we believe we're married in God's eyes, so we're having sex. Mm-hmm. No. Fornication is fornication, whether you're 18 or 88. And you get married if you're going to have sex, mm-hmm. in the sight of God and in the sight of the law. Otherwise, well, we do it because we want to save money. Well, then you're defrauding the government. Mm-hmm. So yes, sex outside of marriage is a sin, and you just don't say a prayer and then you're married.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard you say if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. But what if you were a fornicator and still believe? Do you still go to heaven?
Again, fornication means having sex outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6 says, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, robbers, nor revilers will enter. You, if you're living in that, you will not go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 mm-hmm. through 11. So if this person says, well, I believe in Jesus, but I'm fornicating, I think the apostle Paul would say, you believe about Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus, because he changes your life.
Okay.
Yep.
Any advice on how to make Jesus more central to our Christmas celebrations? We go to church and have a Christmas meal together, but we don't talk about Christ much.
The way I think you put Christ into Christmas is either before you have your Christmas meal or before you open your presents, you say, can we just take a moment and let me read Luke chapter 2? Mm-hmm. And you read the Christmas story. Or you go to the goodnewstracks.org and you order Christmas tracks mm-hmm. and you put them around the table for everybody to take home, or you read one of them for your can I just read this, it takes 3 minutes, and you read mm-hmm. through the Christmas message. So you know, it just, you don't want to have Christmas where Jesus is just kind of over there. Mm-hmm. You want to put him in the middle of your Christmas.
Good idea.
Yeah.
My Roman Catholic sibling's agenda is to convert me to Roman Catholicism, and my agenda is to stay focused on my faith in preparation for my own pending death. My question to you now is, how to explain that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is his mother only of his human body, since he is one person with two natures? My sister tends to deify Mary, even reciting litanies to Mary that include attributes that should be attributed only to Jesus as God. They even believe that Mary was conceived without sin and went to heaven by ascension without dying.
Mm-hmm. All right. So people should know I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Lutheran. Mm-hmm. So just so you know that. Lutherans believe Mary is the mother of God because Jesus is God, so Mary's his mother. So it's okay to say that. Mm-hmm. Do we believe Mary is sinless? No. Do we pray to her? No. Because there's one intercessor, 1 Timothy chapter 2, between God and man, that's Jesus. So I have a heart for Catholics because my dad's side of the family was all Catholic. I before my aunts and uncles all died, I sent them a little, it wasn't a Christmas tract, it was one of the Four Spiritual Law tracts, and I was very polite. I said, you know, we're getting old, and I just want to make sure we all go to heaven by trusting in Christ. Mm-hmm. And would you please read this little thing? I'm sure glad I did that years ago. I'm not sure my mom liked it, but I prayed and I did it. They're all dead. All my Catholic relatives are dead. And I just sent this. And I'm not saying you can't be saved and be a Catholic. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that. But there's enough in Catholicism that so troubles me that I can't go that route. When you walk into a church and there's a picture of Mary on a throne and the souls in fire in purgatory, and it says as the caption, Mary, save us from the fires of purgatory. Hmm. No, Mary doesn't save us from purgatory. Purgatory doesn't exist. Mary doesn't save us from hell. Hell exists. And who saves us from hell? Jesus saves us from hell. So I don't pray to Mary. I think she's a wonderful role model, but there you go.
Okay. We continue to receive a lot of questions regarding homosexuality. And mm-hmm. here's one right here. Our grandson is getting married soon. We thought he was marrying a woman, but he has now informed us that he is bisexual and he himself will be wearing a dress when he marries. He says it makes him feel good. What questions can we ask so we don't drive him further away?
I guess, you know, didn't God make us male and female? What's a man doing marrying a man? Even if he dresses as a woman. And if God made you a male, even if you feel like you're a woman, you're still a male. Mm-hmm. The devil does deceive people. He's called the author of lies by Jesus Christ. So I would do that. Also, I wouldn't go to the wedding. I'd say I love you and I'll always love you, but I don't want you to go to the wrong place for eternity, so I'm not going to go to the wedding. And they might get hopping mad, but if you do it as lovingly and kindly as you can, then that's not your problem. That's their problem.
Speak the truth in love.
There you go.
Our pastor attended a lesbian wedding and maybe even married the two women. I have a real problem with this. In principle, I know I could not attend a gay wedding. To me, that is showing that I support such a thing. Can you give me some advice on this?
Yeah, I heard a pastor too, and this was a good pastor. And he said, well, my I think it was his niece got married, and because I wanted to show love, I went to the wedding. Mm-hmm. I went up after the sermon, and I said, I can't remember how much I told him, but I'm a pastor on TV. I have same-sex attraction. The Bible says that's a sin, and 1 Corinthians 6, if you get into that and don't repent, you're not going to heaven. And I urged this pastor, because there was another service that he was going to preach this. I hope he didn't preach at the next one, go to your lesbian daughter's sermon, mm-hmm. Funeral. I mean, funeral is right, her wedding. And I just urged him that if we care about people's eternal souls, we don't encourage them by showing up at a lesbian wedding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he did with that, but there you go.
Okay. Please pray for my son. He says he is a homosexual, but as a youth, he loved Christ. In sixth grade, he was so bullied, and I believe he felt God didn't help him. It was awful, and he fell away from the Lord, and to this day, he is bitter against God. Please pray God brings him back to Christ.
And I did, and I communicated that to her. Yeah, you know, again, I have same-sex attraction. I don't know quite exactly what happened to me, but I have to fight those temptations mm-hmm. periodically. And sometimes it's because people get bullied as kids or they get lied to as kids about their identity, and you got to grow up and fight those lies mm-hmm. with the truth of Scripture. I'm not a homosexual, and I stand on that because I'm a new creature in Christ, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean I never get tempted. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people, if you're a Protestant, Google the words Restored Hope Network, or if you're evangelical, Restored Hope Network. There are support groups all over the country where people go who have this problem, and you get support or you get counseling. If you're Catholic, it's called Courage International. They have groups all over the world for people who struggle with this problem. So just if you've got this problem, okay, everybody's got something, but don't give into it and get support to give you strength not to get into it. Restored Hope Network. Well, we better close by just mm-hmm. saying, everybody, Christmas is coming. Keep Christ in the middle of your celebrations. We are on the air because of God's provision through you. We don't have any people to support us, but you. We're on all over the country now because of your giving. We don't want to withdraw from any stations. We'd love to add more stations, and the only way we do that is if somehow a lot of money comes in. So as you consider your supporting of various ministries, pray for us and pray for your support if God leads you to do that. You can do that by going to pastorstudy.org and supporting us there, or you'll see an address in a minute. You can watch all of our TV shows for free anytime by going to our website. But everybody, keep Christ central in Christmas.
Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.